Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Happy Thursday. Welcome into the Annie Fry Show right here on 97.1 FM Talk. We've got a really super packed show today. Preparing for this show here on Thursday, the day after the impeachment inquiry takes place yesterday, or at least begins, we have now, we've been planning to get a lot of reaction. That was the news yesterday. And since then, as these things are apt to do, we have had the development of a school shooting in Santa Clarita, California. Ryan, what do we know so far about these events as they have unfolded?
Yeah, it's in Los Angeles County. Multiple people have been injured, and at least three of them are critically injured. It happened this morning at about 8 a.m. After about an hour and a half, the shooting was reported at the high school is called Saugus High School in Santa Clarita, Los Angeles County. The Los Angeles County Sheriff Department said the suspect was an Asian male wearing black clothing. He is now in custody at a hospital.
So the shooter
mm-hmm.
is in custody.
Yes.
See, and I saw somewhere that the shooter was dead. So
he may be, but they're just, I think they're saying.
I saw self-inflicted gun wound. So,
and they've got him at a hospital. So whether he's alive, we don't know.
We're so close to this happening. This is unfolding now. It was an active situation not terribly long ago, within the last hour. And this is where we get the details and we take a pause and we wait and we see what happens. And this is not the time to lump this specific situation into the rest of the situations
right.
that have occurred in the past. So I definitely am going to, we're going to follow this as it unfolds, and we're going to tell you what is happening as it happens. And we're also going to talk about a lot of other things today, but this is an active situation. The suspect is in custody, as Ryan reported. There's one person reported dead from the shooting. And here we are again. I said to Ryan ahead of time, like, I'm not going to spend the entire show today belaboring how we fix this problem. How ignorant and arrogant is it to, while people are still surrounding this school in California, to think that our conversation in the next 3 hours is going to solve one of these problems? How selfish and arrogant is it to think that these problems can be solved by some sort of government intervention? Like, this is a culture problem. The government is the last thing that is going to be able to solve these. And so we're not going to engage in that conversation right now. We're not going to, in the moment where people are still trying to make contact with their children who are, you know, enrolled in this school and participating in these events as they unfold, the suggestion that there is some sort of government intervention that can fix this. This is like when Beto O'Rourke was on the debate stage and he brought up racism, or the question was about racism, and he's like, this isn't a now problem. This has been happening since 1619.
And then, I can solve it.
And then he's like, so vote for me. And I'm like, we've waited 300 years for Beto, and he's going to solve this epidemic problem that is deep-seated in the culture of our country. And I would venture to say humanity. Like, we are a broken people and evil exists. So let's recognize where the root of that problem is. So it's a sad day. We're right back where we started again since the last time that something like this happened. And we will have to figure out how to take the next step. And yeah. it's important that we focus on that.
Right now, it looks like the focus of this shooting has shifted from the school to maybe the shooter's house. There are police outside of a house, and they're covering it from helicopters. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they've just identified exactly where.
A lot of times they go to the home and they quickly look through the home to make sure that they can get it in fully intact. So we're going to continue to follow this news, and we've got a packed show today. We're going to speak at 12:25 with Hans von Spakovsky to get his reaction from the impeachment inquiry hearings that we heard yesterday. Judge Napolitano is coming on at 12:40. Tyrus will react at 1 o'clock. But right now, very excited to be able to welcome Congressman Rodney Davis of Illinois' 13th District onto the show. My congressman, Rodney, thank you so much for giving us some time today.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's a tragic day again to see what happened out in California, and my heart breaks for those kids. I know those that were injured. Hopefully, they're going to be able to recover. But the ones who survived, you know, they're going to wake up with the same memories I had a few years ago, the day after a shooting. And I certainly hope they're able to get the help that they need to be able to process it.
Well, you know, I think it's important to, I want to take a moment, because this is not the intention of having you on today. Certainly, we wanted to hear about what the House of Representatives is doing here with the President of the United States. But we're going to put that aside for just a minute here so that I can ask you about this important scenario. You have yourself been in, you were on the baseball field there in Virginia when the shooter came by and looked for the Republicans and opened fire. You experienced something like this yourself. What is your advice, not necessarily as a congressman, not somebody as a governmental representative, but as somebody who's experienced this kind of terror yourself? What do you want people to know about this type of an instance and what you hope to see happen next?
Yeah, people that have experienced this, they're going to need to talk about it. That's one benefit that we have as being members of Congress. And going through such a tragic event like we all did that day, we're asked about it a lot. So we get a chance to process that. I didn't talk to mental health professionals until after, after the shooting was over for a few weeks. And when I talked to them, they said, "How are you processing?" And I said, "Well, I've been able to do interviews. I've been able to basically recreate that moment, those 10 minutes in my mind and relay what I saw." They said, "That's the best thing you can do." And what worried me the most, Annie, was that the staffers who were on the field that day helping us get better at baseball, they're not asked to do the interviews. They weren't asked to talk about it. So I made it my mission to go talk to them personally and have them, you know, relay their thoughts that day, because it certainly helped me. And I would give those kids who luckily survived this tragedy today, the best advice I can give is sit down, relay what you saw, and talk to people about it.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic advice, and the humanity that exists here, the brokenness of our humanity is on full display. And honestly, I think sometimes the thing that mends that the best is connection with other humans. So I think that's a fantastic piece of advice for these people and anybody who's experienced anything like this, maybe on a smaller scale. But when it happens to you, it doesn't feel small at all.
No, it doesn't. But you know what? Blessings were all around on the baseball field with us that day. And luckily, the reports I've seen, and if they change and I don't have the right information, I apologize. But luckily, I haven't seen anybody reported death shooting.
There has been one reported death.
Then I didn't have the utmost info. My heart goes out to them. But they're going to have to, you know, they're going to live with this the rest of their lives like I do. It's not a day that goes by. I don't behave differently because of that morning. And it's a tragedy that we live in a society where people believe that it's okay if they're mad or if they're upset or if they're depressed, that it's okay to go try and kill innocent human beings who are with them. That's a societal problem that we've got to address right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. We're speaking with Congressman Rodney Davis, Illinois Congressman. I want to shift gears a little bit because it is important that we do also address what's taking place on Capitol Hill. Yesterday, we'll resume tomorrow with more hearings taking place with Adam Schiff and the House Intelligence Committee. number one question, you're a Republican in the House. No Republican voted to proceed with these impeachment this impeachment inquiry as it is right now. Two Democrats joined the Republicans. The only bipartisan effort here is to not go forward with this. In your conversations with your colleagues, Republican and Democrat, what was the impact of yesterday's hearing so far?
You know, most people out here have dug their heels in on which side they come down on an impeachment. So we don't really talk about it that much with each other. But what I can tell you is after watching some of the testimony yesterday, it looked to me like the best answer of the day that they gave was to a question raised by my friend John Ratcliffe. And he asked both of the witnesses, did you see anything in that call that rose to the level of an impeachable offense? And they both said no. I mean, if your star witnesses are telling Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats that President Trump did not commit an impeachable offense, that tells me it's a pretty flimsy case to be brought against him in the first place.
Do you feel as though this hearing is fair? There's a lot of pundits out there right now trying to explain how unfair the process is. Is it as unfair as we are being led by a lot of Republicans to believe?
Yes, it is. Process matters, especially when you're talking about the due process of a president and a member of the executive branch who was duly elected by the citizens of this country. Process matters. Otherwise, if you don't follow the process and the precedents that have been set the three other times in our nation's history where we've had impeachments, then what you're doing is setting new precedent. And my fear for the future is that, number one, we're not going to get anything done here like the USMCA or addressing health care reform that Democrats promised they would do if given the House. We're not going to be able to deal with prescription drug pricing, student debt. But what also is going to happen, they're going to set a precedent that's going to create a politically based impeachment process any time in our nation's history or any time in our nation's future when the House is represented by a different party than the president. That's the sad precedent that they're now setting for future presidents.
Hmm.
Hey, Rodney, this is Ryan Wiggins. We're getting close to being out of time here already, but I wanted to ask, you know, I saw the House members, the Republican House members, during the closed-door sessions, you know, storm the door and seemed to have kind of a united front when they were doing that, at least from our perspective here in the middle of the country, looking at Washington, D.C. Is there any sort of overarching strategy now that the inquiry has begun?
Well, really, it's just the truth. The truth is the overarching strategy. And when you look at what now has come out of secret, out into the public view, we're seeing the exact same witnesses who gave testimony in secret now be able to come out and give that testimony publicly. And they're saying the same thing my colleagues who were in the secret hearings said they said. You know, like yesterday, Mr. Ratcliffe asked the two Democrat star witnesses, asked them if President Trump committed an impeachable offense, and they both said no. I mean, that's something that should get a lot more attention. But the process itself is still unfair because we Republicans are not able to call the witnesses that we want to call, to be able to ask the questions in the manner that we want to be able to ask. And the majority party, the Democrats, are just ramming this new unfair process and unfair precedents through.
Congressman Davis, before we let you go, is there anything you've heard, been exposed to, any detail, any fact that has you concerned about the president's ability to conduct foreign policy?
No. And you look at the success of this administration's foreign policy, it amazes me because I've been to Ukraine. I've watched the pettiness of the former president Poroshenko, who didn't want us meeting with the prime minister after his meeting, so he kept us in a meeting a lot longer than he should have. And what I've seen is that this administration finally was the only administration to actually provide lethal weapons to the Ukrainians. And we all want corruption to be gone in every country that gets our foreign aid. That should be something that we should all, before any foreign dollars go anywhere, we ought to require that internal corruption in those countries be dealt with. Otherwise, we're wasting American taxpayer dollars, and it's wrong. I have yet to see anything that concerns me about the president. He's been more transparent than any other president in our nation's history on this issue. And I think this venture of impeachment in the House will lead to him being impeached. He won't be convicted in the Senate. And the American people are going to be very mad at Democrats.
Congressman Rodney Davis, we hope to connect with you again as this process unfolds. Always great to have you on the show today, and our thoughts and prayers with your thoughts and prayers going out to the people in California in the wake of this tragedy.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you.
Yes. We'll talk to you again soon, Congressman. Thank you for your time. At Rodney Davis on Twitter. He's with Illinois' 13th district in the United States Congress. He's in the House of Representatives. He's going to get to vote for or against the impeachment of the President of the United States. So it's great to have him on the show today to react to that. We're going to continue to update you with the situation developing with this latest California school shooting. One dead, we understand.
So far, one and a couple critically injured.
And suspect in custody.
Yes.
So we will continue to update with you on the details of what has taken place today. And we are going to take a pause and wait to have all those details before we start discussing what comes next. We've got Hans von Spakovsky with the Heritage Foundation coming up next. He is going to break down any concerns that we should be having with President Trump in this impeachment inquiry. Does he have any concerns about whether or not this president did do something that qualifies as a high crime or a misdemeanor? Hans von Spakovsky in just a minute.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The bribe is to grant or withhold military assistance in return for a public statement of a fake investigation into the elections.
So could we
that's bribery. Yes.
Could we be looking at an article of impeachment?
Well, I don't know about that. We don't even haven't even made a decision to impeach. That's what the inquiry is about. And when the committees decide that, and they will decide what the articles are. But I am saying that what is the president has admitted to and says it's perfect. I said it's perfectly wrong.
Oh, it's perfectly wrong. Police, Pelosi there reacting to yesterday's impeachment inquiry. We're going to flush this out a bit with Hans von Spakovsky here in just a second. But a real quick update on what's going on in California. What do we know right now?
The active shooter situation is over. So he is in custody. We don't know what his condition is because it's been reported that he was dead. But now they're just saying they have him in custody at hospital. Apparently, 2 to 3 people have been reported in critical condition. One of them has passed away, and then one other person was in good condition. But that's the extent of the injuries.
So we will continue to update you on the developments as they happen. We're going to plow through this show after yesterday's crazy day of these hearings. That's just day one of hearings. There are going to be more. There's going to be more hearings tomorrow as well. So stick with us. The updates, you will get them here. But as in between those updates, we are going to carry on with the show. Joining us now is Hans von Spakovsky, the senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Hans, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So just your overall reaction to Nancy Pelosi there at the beginning, talking about how Trump absolutely engaged in bribery. Myself, as a non-legal expert, looked at yesterday and didn't feel like anything evolved out of there that was just glaring in the face of the American people. Hans, you are a legal expert. What was your assessment of the hearings yesterday?
Well, first of all, I have to say that the speaker has no idea what she's talking about. The federal bribery statute is very specific, and what was said yesterday didn't come anywhere even close to fulfilling any of the requirements for bribery under federal law. And listen, if they had background music playing, you know, at the hearings, the way they do for TV shows and movies, they should have been playing REO's song, Heard It From a Friend, Who Heard It From a Friend, Who Heard It From a Friend. Because both of the witnesses, George Kent and William Taylor, former diplomat, both of them had to admit that, well, they never actually talked to the president. They didn't have any firsthand knowledge of anything. Their whole testimony was hearsay, speculation, and their criticism of how the president is conducting our diplomatic and foreign policy relations with the Ukrainian government. I just find that astonishing because it's not the State Department. They're not the ones who dictate what our foreign policy is. It's the president. He's the chief diplomat. So I don't know what in the world Adam Schiff thought he was going to be getting yesterday, but to me, I think everybody should call this the big blowout of 2019 because they didn't. I don't think they got anything that shows in any way that the president did something that would justify impeachment.
Well, we're speaking with Hans von Spakovsky here. It's interesting to hear you say the big blowout of 2019 because we've had the Russia, the Mueller report come out, and I've said many, many times, Hans, the entire time we were leading up to it, I would kind of ask you, out of my ignorance of the situation, is there something to be worried about here? Should the American people be worried about the president's ability to continue to do his job in the office? And you were constantly saying there's nothing there yet, that it hasn't happened, it hasn't developed, and unless there's something that drastically changes here, this is going to turn into nothing, and you were spot on with that assessment. Do you feel as though this is 2.0 from the Mueller investigation turned Mueller report?
Yeah, it is. And I'll make a point about this. Look, Adam Schiff, a lot of people don't realize this, but he's a former federal prosecutor. He used to be an assistant U.S. attorney. And as such, he knows that if he wants to go to a grand jury indictment, the U.S. attorney has to write a written explanation of why he wants to do that, and his boss has to approve it. I can tell you, based on the hearsay case that was presented yesterday, as a former Justice Department guy, there's no way that anybody would have approved him going to a grand jury with what he had yesterday, which was basically nothing.
Hans, this is Ryan Wiggins. With what you're saying in mind, is there a chance that when we get to an actual impeachment vote that we actually see more than two Democrats actually peel off and join Republicans here, that this will be closer than we think?
Well, there might be a handful, but no, because look, we know very well that they don't actually want a real hearing, that they are going to a predetermined end. And how do we know that? We know that because, remember, Adam Schiff has denied the Republicans the ability to bring in witnesses they want, such as the supposed whistleblower who started all of this off. And they can't question Hunter Biden about the possible corruption issue in the Ukraine. So that tells you they don't want any witnesses coming forward that are going to somehow spoil the narrative myth that they are trying to project with these very limited hearings.
I want to play this sound for you, speaking with Hans von Spakovsky here, the senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I found this to be a pretty telling statement.
We also need to move quite quickly because we're talking about the potential compromise of the 2020 elections. And so this is not just about something that has occurred. This is about preventing a potentially disastrous outcome from occurring next year.
If Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is being as truthful as I fear that she actually is being, it almost sounds like the only purpose and the main point of this entire impeachment inquiry is to prevent what could inevitably happen in 2020, which is the American people voting once again to elect Donald Trump as the president of the United States. Is that how you heard our statement?
Oh, yeah. And that she's not the only one. Remember, Al Green, representative from Democrat from Texas. Look, he has said, when he introduced his impeachment resolution, that they had to do it to prevent the president from winning an election in 2020. That is not the purpose of the impeachment clause in the Constitution. In fact, it's an abuse of that provision, which was only intended to be able to remove a president if he's engaged in serious misconduct. It is not to be used as a partisan tool to win elections. And that seems to be the Democrats admitting that's what they're doing with it.
Hans, you mentioned the whistleblower and the Bidens not being able to testify. We heard Lindsey Graham say that if it gets to the Senate, that they might flip that whole thing on its head. Do you think that will happen, or will the Senate just quash this thing immediately?
No, I don't think they'll quash it immediately. But I certainly hope that if it gets to the Senate and there's a trial, that they bring those folks in. Listen, another person they need to bring in, of course, again, is one of the witnesses from yesterday, George Kent, because it came out today in an article that guess what George Kent did during the 2016 election when he was in the Ukrainian embassy? He apparently sent a letter to the Ukrainian government telling them that they needed to stop the corruption investigation of a Ukrainian advocacy group that was being funded by George Soros and the Obama administration.
Oh, man, that's insane. I'm kind of curious about your opinion. Is there any part of you that would like to see this go through the House and pass in the House just to see what this Republican-controlled Senate would be able to uncover if they were in a position to subpoena people and question people like Adam Schiff and potentially Hunter Biden and the like?
Well, look, yeah, sometimes I think that would be great, but I think it would be too much of a bad step in American history and the way we run our government for the House of Representatives to actually approve articles of impeachment for political partisan purposes. And unless they come up with some kind of evidence that we still don't know about, that is what they're going to be doing. And let me tell you, that is a very dangerous step to take because it threatens the stability of our democratic process and how it works.
A last question for you, Hans, before we have to let you go. Is there anything that you've seen, any hearings or any witnesses that you see coming up that you think could potentially cause this to go sideways for President Trump, his administration, and the Republicans in the House?
No, you know, the next witness is a former Ukrainian ambassador. She's coming up Friday, and the transcripts of her testimony showed that her biggest complaint was the fact that she was fired. Well, under the Constitution, ambassadors serve at the pleasure of the president. They can be fired for no reason or any reason. Again, if that's the only thing that they can get out of her, then again, it's not an impeachable offense.
Well, it's going to be interesting to follow, and your insight on these issues is always very valuable to our listeners and to myself. So thank you so much, Hans. It's great to speak with you. We hope to do it again soon.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Yep, absolutely. The senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, Hans von Spakovsky, he's been on Fox News contributing in this capacity quite a bit. And when I asked him, like, I was hoping that he'd say, well, you know, if such and such comes up there and decides to say this, that and the other thing, it's going to pose a pretty significant problem for the president. His confidence when he's like, no, it's not there. The reason why we've learned from the Democrats what they thought that they were going to do with the Russia narrative, with the collusion, with the assuredness. Do you remember how arrogantly confident Adam Schiff was?
Oh, yeah. There's quotes from him still floating around.
Sure.
Oh, we've got this. This is
it's just going to need
a done deal.
Yeah. It just needs to come into the light. It's like, I know things. And when you know what I know, it will be plain as day.
Right.
It never happened. It didn't. And Hans was so consistent and confident, like to the point where I thought, dude, you could hedge your bets a little bit here. You could say, well, you know, he doesn't. And I will say for the Mueller process, which was a long process, he was spot on every time. So I appreciate the context that he gives us regarding the situation. When we come back.
And now.
Judge Napolitano.
All right.
And I enjoy talking to Judge Napolitano. That's why we keep having him on. I think that he is a good legal expert, whether he has political opinions that match yours or don't. Someone asked me why we're having him on. And I said, because I'm not afraid of an opinion that might not match mine. And I don't know what he's going to say until he says it.
Especially in light of yesterday.
Yeah. So let's get him on. I'm going to ask him about a lot of procedural things. An impeachment inquiry, an impeachment trial, a criminal trial. How are these things different from one another? And we're going to get an answer from somebody who's part of that system. I find it valuable. I hope you do too. Judge Napolitano in just a minute.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The bottom line is, I think this is a distraction from what the American people really care about.
Nikki Haley reacting to the impeachment hearing yesterday. It is going to continue on maybe for some time. We do know that tomorrow there will be further hearings with the ambassador. Yovanovitch will be testifying. We will be carrying that for you right here on 97.1 FM Talk. So stick with us. You'll be able to hear that tomorrow as well. But a lot of questions by a lot of people. as this process unfolds. Very excited to get to our next guest here, Judge Andrew Napolitano, the Fox News senior judicial analyst and host of The Liberty File on Fox Nation. FoxNation.com. Make sure you subscribe so you can see Judge Knapp's show there. It's a privilege to have you on today, Judge. Thanks for giving us some time.
Likewise, Annie. Nice to be with you, my friend.
So let me ask you this first question. I think there's some procedural things, and when you get a bunch of lawyers together talking, whether they were at the hearing or pundits talking afterwards, they start speaking in these legal terms, and I just don't understand it. Tell me the difference between an impeachment inquiry, an impeachment trial, and maybe a criminal trial that more of us folks would be familiar with. You know, there's questions of hearsay, different kinds of evidence that are being involved. This is a political expedition versus a criminal trial. Can you kind of set the tone for what, how these might be different from one another?
Well, it's a superb question, and it would take a few hours to answer it thoroughly. but to answer it in a summary way, there's two provisions we're looking at in the Constitution. One says each House, the House of Representatives and the Senate, shall write their own rules. That means whatever rules they write, they have to follow. They don't have to conform to a standard of what would happen in a courtroom. They write the rules, and that's it. There's no appeal from those rules other than to vote out of office those who wrote the rules. The second key provision in the Constitution is that the House shall have the sole, S-O-L-E, power of impeachment. That means that there's no appeal from what the House is doing with respect to impeaching. Impeaching is not removal from office. It's a challenge. It's an indictment. It's a charge, which is then sent to the Senate for a trial. That's pretty basic. But all of this means that the niceties of due process, and this is offensive to me. I mean, I'm the libertarian who believes the government is usually wrong and often violates due process. But the niceties of due process, fairness, right to counsel, right to confront the evidence against you, right not to have hearsay evidence introduced against you, although there's 36, count them, exceptions to the hearsay rule. These provisions do not apply. Now, why do they not apply? Well, they don't apply because the House rules don't provide for them. Did Adam Schiff write the House rules? No. Did Nancy Pelosi write the House rules? No. The current House rules are written by John Boehner, Republican Speaker of the House in 2015, and ratified by the Republican majority at the time. So the Republicans who are complaining about the rules, about the power that Adam Schiff has, the power that the Intelligence Committee has, are frustrated by rules that they wrote when they were in power that they never imagined would be used against them. Now, at some point, the president does acquire, sorry to tell them that, I've been saying it for weeks, much to their chagrin. At some point, the president does acquire due process rights. That happens in the Senate because the Senate rules provide that if there is an impeachment trial, the president shall be represented by lawyers of his choosing, not from the Justice Department, but lawyers that he will obtained from the outside. I don't want to say pay for, because this president doesn't like to pay bills. Just ask Rudy Giuliani. He had to have a bunch of Russian thugs pay the bill, but another story for another time. And those lawyers will be able to assert and claim the president's due process rights. Now, when does due process come into play? There's two arguments. One says it comes in to play whenever the government is an adversary. That's the libertarian view, which I embrace. The other says, if you're a fair reading of the Constitution, says it only comes into play when the government wants your life, liberty, or property. At the present time, the government, the Donald Trump's life, liberty, and property are not in jeopardy. His job is in jeopardy, but not his life, liberty, or property. So those are the parameters to due process. Is it fair for Congressman Schiff and the committee to have acquired its evidence in secret? Well, in all matters in which lawyers put witnesses on the stand to testify in public, there is always a secret interview ahead of time. In fact, lawyers would commit malpractice if they put a witness on the stand and vouched for the witness's credibility without having examined the witness themselves first. So where did Peter Rodino, the chair of the House Judiciary Committee that was prepared to vote articles of impeachment against Richard Nixon before he resigned, where did Congressman Rodino get his evidence from? Hold the question. Where did Congressman Henry Hyde, the chair of the House Judiciary Committee that voted in articles of impeachment against Bill Clinton, where did he get his evidence from? They got their evidence from secret grand jury transcripts. So the commencement of this in secret is not only not a violation of House rules, it is standard operating procedure in virtually every litigation in the country, civil, criminal, administrative, ethical, impeachment. And the Republicans, who have no defense to what the president did, can only argue process and credibility. They can't argue substance.
You know, I heard yesterday, or maybe it was this morning, Chris Wallace was joining our morning show and was making the case that the question should be more, from the Republican side, should be more based on if the president did what he's being accused of doing, is it, even if he was fully guilty of it, would that actually need to be an impeachable offense?
And then he was... I agree with Chris on that, but the Republicans have decided as a strategic matter not to address that. Pardon me, because they don't want to concede the if. Mm-hmm. The if that Chris raised is indisputable. There's no question but that the president held up this aid for 55 days, and there's no question but that he wanted the Bidens investigated. The question is it an impeachable offense? I have argued that it is, because there's two crimes committed, and one is the very crime articulated in the Constitution as the basis, one of the three bases for impeachment, and that is bribery. What is the federal definition of bribery? The failure to perform a legal duty until a thing of value comes your way. The failure to release money that Congress authorized and ordered to be released until dirt on Joe Biden arrived. And it's a classic case of bribery. That's a felony. And that is a classic impeachable offense. Republicans don't want to go there.
So if there has been...
I'm saying this as a Republican. Mm-hmm. I'm saying this as somebody that's had a personal friendship with the president for 30 years. But my lane at Fox is the Constitution and the rule of law. It's not politics.
Sure. I understand that. That's why we like to have you on this show. Speaking with Judge Napolitano, the Fox News senior judicial analyst, we've heard many people make the case that Zelensky didn't know that aid was held up. I've heard people suggest that there was an attempt a quid pro quo, but the quid and the pro quo part of it didn't actually happen, so it was a failed attempt at a quid pro quo. Would you
That's
say
a very
that-
interesting argument, which I don't think you're going to hear the Republicans make if they run past their lawyers, mm-hmm. because solicitation of campaign aid from a foreign government, solicitation, asking, this is again a statute that I disagree with, because I think it's a matter of freedom of speech. You can ask all you want, but the statute prohibits asking. So asking for the aid is a crime whether it arrives or not. And offering to be bribed, whether the bribe is consummated or not, is a crime. These are two rare federal crimes that are committed in completion before they're consummated. So they're committed by offering and asking. Again, I personally disagree with this, but I'm not the lawgiver here. They're committed in full by offering and seeking without consummation.
So last question.
Again, the Republicans don't want to go there.
So yeah, I definitely agree with you. They don't want to concede the if. But last question for you before I have to let you go here. I contend that what the president was seeking was dirt from the 2016 portion of this, because I think that the biggest thing to help his campaign in 2020 would be able to prove the nefarious actions that could have taken place leading into his 2016 election. Some people are saying,
you know, the president persuaded the attorney general to produce a legal opinion from his very bright researchers and writers in something called the Office of Legal Counsel, which was once headed by Justice Scalia many years ago in the Reagan administration. It's a little footnote of history. The brightest lawyers work there, brightest lawyers in the DOJ. And they produced an opinion saying dirt on your opponent is not a thing of value. That opinion has been laughed out of the legal and judicial and political communities, because everybody knows dirt on your opponent is not only a thing of value, it is the most valuable commodity there is to a political campaign. So that opinion has been buried. There's no question of what the facts are here. It's just the spin you want to put on it.
A quick follow-up to that, just because we're talking about this. If the Steele dossier was, in fact, paid for by the DNC and funded by the Hillary campaign, does that become dirt on your opponent if it's fabricated and sourced from a foreign country too, then?
Okay, so there's two different laws here. You can purchase something from a foreign government if you're running a campaign, as long as you report it. Mrs. Clinton purchased it but didn't report it. She funneled it from the DNC, from her campaign to the DNC through a law firm, so it looked like it was a legal bill. So that was the violation of campaign finance law there. You can purchase dirt on your opponent from a foreign intelligence agency. That is not a crime. It's receiving something of value as a donation to the campaign without having to pay for it. That is the crime.
Interesting stuff. Judge Napolitano, it's a pleasure to speak with you today. Thank you so much for fitness in this busy schedule, this busy news time. Great to have you.
Anytime, Annie. All the best and an early happy Thanksgiving to you.
As to you as well. Thank you so much, Judge Knapp, the Fox News senior judicial analyst and host of Liberty File on Fox Nation. All right, we're going to talk to Tyrus next, and then you can let us have it. I don't know. I'm saying the things to him that Republicans are saying to us, and I want to hear his reaction to it. And I know that there are people listening to the show who don't agree with me on a lot of my political points, but I like to be able to provide lots of various opinions. You can give us a call. Like I said, we have Tyrus coming up. And if you want to get on the line and hold now and hold your place, 314-241-9797, or you can join us in a little bit. I'm going to ask Tyrus about the impeachment hearings yesterday, but I'm going to also ask him about the broadcaster for the Boston Bruins who lost his job trying to defend supporting veterans. It's a very interesting story. We haven't talked about it a lot, but Tyrus with Fox News is going to join us in just a minute. Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.